Time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you life-changing information. And I'm Darlene Kvist. I'm a licensed nutritionist, and I thank you for listening this morning. Each week we bring you information on how nutrition, or the lack of nutrition, affects different health problems. So we might bring you information about the connection between nutrition and MS, or nutrition and sobriety, or the connection of nutrition to diabetes, or the connection to nutrition and arthritis. But today we don't have a set topic because we wanted to give you the opportunity to ask the nutritionist. And I've invited Anna Durhock to be our co-host. Anna has her master's degree in nutrition, so I needed a backup person here today. She has completed her internship and will be licensed this month. And Anna, even though you are young, how young are you now again?
I'll be 27 in October.
Can you believe that? And she has her master's. She's getting licensed. And it's amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these things that you've accomplished in such a short time.
I know. And I think about it. I mean, I have my bachelor's degree in nutrition and, you know, I've worked for you guys, Nutritional Weight and Wellness, for 4.5 years.
Wonderful.
So, and I absolutely love it. And, you know, completing my master's was a huge trial. I have two beautiful girls. Genevieve is 1.5 and Isabel is 3. So, but absolutely love what I do. And that's why I went through it. So,
seriously, I invited Anna to co-host this show because she does have a firm handle on all the current nutrition research and science. So we're ready for people to start calling in with questions. And our number today is 651-641-1071. And, you know, we're going to, we know that sometimes people are just kind of rolling out of bed at this time. And so we're going to, while we wait for your call, we really receive almost every week we receive some questions about Ask the Nutritionist. And we've got a question on what causes fibroid tumors and are there foods that I should avoid? So maybe before we even start with that question, we do have someone already on the line. And good morning, Shelley. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi, I have kind of a story about a scam I got pulled into.
Okay.
I emailed you guys a few days ago, and they're like, oh, you need to call in. So I'll try to make it as quick as possible.
Sure.
I was just sitting reading an article on the Yahoo website, and there was an ad for this acai berry pill for weight loss.
Oh, yes.
And I clicked on it and been feeling kind of down the dumps at a baby year ago. I haven't been able to get back on track. I did meet with a nutritionist at your place a few years ago, and I learned the right way to eat. But in a moment of desperation, I just kind of decided, oh, I'll try this. Well, bad idea because it's a scam, and I got scammed. I thought, well, I'll get my 99-cent for shipping trial, you know, offer.
Yes.
And I got it, and then I went to cancel it within the 15 days is what they say, and they charged my credit card.
Oh, okay.
And then I got cancellation numbers within the 15 days, and they charged my card the next day, and now they're asking me to return it. And then, of course, because I thought it was such a great deal, I sent it to other friends. And
oh,
yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So I'm just trying to warn everyone against something like that. And the whole thing, too, is it's dangerous because you don't even know what those pills are made of. I couldn't get a company name from the person when I called.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's yes. It's interesting, and I didn't even know about that. So,
right.
You know, I think it's great. I'm glad you called in, Shelley, because you can kind of warn somebody else about this.
Yes.
You know, it goes back to eating real food, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, there is no quick fix.
That's right.
If there was, everybody who ever had that quick fix would be really rich, and everybody would know about it.
Yep.
So
I don't know who this company is, but they're getting really rich because there's even if you just Google in this acai berry pill, there's tons of
yes.
website saying don't do it. And
oh, okay.
It's really bad. So I just thought maybe you might want to put that out there and then just tell everybody to come visit you guys instead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Shelley.
All
right, have a good day.
Yep. Okay. All right. We have another caller here, so we're just going to... Hi, Jenny. Good morning. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning to you. My question is, I haven't eaten salt for like 20 years, and I did take your class, and they mentioned to eat salt.
Yes.
But I don't really know if I should be eating it or not.
Salt. Well, you want to take that, Anna, a little bit?
Well, yes. Most of the salt that we actually consume is in processed foods. So,
and I don't do that anymore.
So, but actually, if you put sea salt... Mm-hmm. That has all the good minerals and things like that. It's actually, it helps your body absorb and digest foods a lot better. And again, you need to balance out your electrolytes, and sodium is a key player in that. So
right.
You want to make sure you're getting enough too.
And I also think that it's really important to get a salt that has some iodine in it. So I buy sea salt that has been with iodine in it, iodized sea salt. Because our thyroid needs a little bit of iodine all the time. And
I knew that you needed the iodine, but I just quit eating salt like 20 years ago. And so.
I think, add a little bit back and you might actually feel better. You might have actually more energy. But maybe, maybe you're feeling great right now. I don't know. So
I do. After taking your class and eating the right way and in balance and everything, I cannot believe how wonderful I feel.
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
Yes. So, you know what? If you're doing eggs and vegetables in the morning, you know, just put a little bit of salt on your vegetables however you want to do it. So.
Eggs are the only thing I've never been able to eat without a little bit of salt.
Okay.
Great. Great.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you
this
for
morning.
The call.
Yes. You know, I think just to kind of pick up on that salt, the recommended amount is about 2,000
milligrams. Yep.
2,000 milligrams a day. And that's a lot of salt if you're adding salt.
Yeah.
But most of the time when you're looking at processed foods, they're not using a very good quality salt. They're using a very inexpensive type of salt in the processed foods.
Right.
So that's the difference between getting a good salt and one that you're getting out of processed food.
Yep.
So we have another caller. Good morning, Karen. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question this morning for us?
Yes, I do. I had gastric bypass in 2003, mm-hmm. and it just sailed along, and everything's been fine. But lately, the last blood test when I went in for my checkup says I'm low in iodine, or not iodine, the... Iron, excuse me.
Yes.
I was just listening to your program and it stuck in my head.
Okay.
So they said they had a prescription or whatever, but I was wondering if there's a way that I can get this back into my body without taking like vitamins per se.
Well, let me start and then Anna, think about this a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, are you taking a B vitamin complex?
What I do take is a B1, B6, and a 2 B12 a day.
Okay.
And then I have the Flintstones Complete.
Okay.
And I have a lot of other generalized ones as well.
Okay. I think I would upgrade my multivitamin to a much better one because the Flintstones are very little vitamin and a lot of chemicals. So upgrade that to a really good quality multivitamin that has a lot of Bs in it. I know one that we have at our office is called Twice a Day. And the reason I picked that one is because it's high in vitamin in all the Bs. So
okay.
To get all your Bs to work, you have to have all the Bs working together, you know, and so your B12 and it's going to actually work better when you take it with some other good quality Bs.
I did not know that.
So,
I've been taking them separately thinking that's what I should have been doing.
Okay.
Okay.
So Anna, talk about protein, meat, and iron.
Okay. So there are obviously high containing foods with iron in it, but the best ones are going to be red meat, but also cooked spinach has quite a bit of iron in it. But you don't want to eat raw spinach because that'll actually bind up the iron.
Okay.
But if you're already low in iron, it's really hard to get enough from your diet.
Okay.
So you might have to start taking, you know, 100% of the RDA plus, you know, eating more of those iron-rich foods.
And I think the other thing is when you are looking at an iron supplement, I don't know, we happen to have one at our office that is, it mm-hmm. says it's chelated. Mm-hmm. It's attached to a little bit of protein, and so it gets absorbed.
Much easier,
and it doesn't tend to give people constipation like many of them do.
Right.
And it works much better, and you don't have to take such a high dosage of it for it to work.
Right.
Okay.
But I agree with Anna. I mean, if your iron levels are low, then you really need to bring those back up and keep checking them so that they don't go too high.
Yep.
Because that's a worry, too, for people.
Yes.
Okay. What are the symptoms when they go too high? Or
there are no symptoms,
okay.
But they act as a free radical and actually can cause cancer for people.
And heart disease, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
That's why they don't have iron in men's multivitamins, actually, because
really?
Men tend to store iron too fast if they're, you know,
yep,
they don't need
healthy,
it.
Healthy men, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's a great question, and we thank
yes.
you for calling in this morning.
Thanks, Karen.
So, you know, we got a few quick callers, so I think what we'll do is we'll just kind of talk about fibroid tumors because I think what's happening is our producer is having a hard time, Ray is having a hard time keeping up with all the callers this morning. So we'll talk a little bit about fibroid tumors as we go along here.
Okay, so we left off with a lot of, like, there's some foods that actually increase fibroid tumors and some that prevent it. But what a lot of people don't know is that a large percentage of women are affected by these tumors at some point in their lives, and often they need to remove them or basically remove the whole uterus, which can also not be a good thing, especially if you're a younger woman who, you know, wants her hormones in balance. So, Dar,
mm-hmm.
what happens when we have fibroid tumors?
Well, basically, you know, what happens is it can cause, you know, extra menstrual blood flow. So people will have these terrible periods and they'll have pain and discomfort. And so, you know what, we're going to hold that because if people have questions about fibroids, they can call in or we'll finish up this discussion. But first, we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you nutritional information that will improve your health. So often women tell me and probably tell Anna during a nutritional counseling session that they skip breakfast and lunch to save on calories. They believe if they skip meals, they'll lose weight. But what is the reality? Research tells us skipping meals slows the metabolism and sets us up for cravings and binge eating. So eating 5 to 6 times a day increases metabolism, leading to more energy and actually weight loss. So if you want to call us today, ask the nutritionist. It is 651-641-1071.
Living life out loud.
Living life out loud.
FM 107.1.
All the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. Now put your hands up, up in the club, just broke up.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Anna Durhak with Dar and Darkavist, and if you are looking for better nutrition for your children, I invite you to sign up for a healthy kids class. It's called Foods to Build Happy, Focused Kids. It's next week. There's 3 different classes at all 3 of our locations, White Bear Lake, St. Paul, and Wayzata.
People have been asking for this class.
Yes. So please sign up. It's the class that I teach is on Thursday night, August 6th in Wayzata.
And it'll be fun.
Yes. It'll be a blast. We're going to talk about great recipes that you can get your kids to eat and that are tasty, you know, just different ideas about how to get them to eat vegetables and how to maybe get rid of a lot of the sugar. So we're definitely excited about this class. I always teach this class and everybody always gets a ton of information, great information from it. So sign up with any of our locations today, but you can call Hannah at 651-699-3438, and she'd be happy to sign you up.
Yes, and on Monday night, it's in White Bear Lake, and on Wednesday night, it's in St. Paul, and on Thursday night, Anna will see you in Wayzata, and guess what?
It's Only $25.
Only $25.
Great value for great information.
For 2 hours of good class and good fun.
Exactly.
So we're going to take a lot of questions here. We're not going to get back to our topic because we're going to just do questions. Good morning, Terry. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you. I was just telling your producer that I have been running for about a year and a half, and I'm going to do the Twin Cities 10 mile. So I'm usually I've only run about 4 to 5 miles at the most.
Okay.
And I get up really early in the morning, like at 4:30 before work to run, and you know don't often have time to eat a whole lot before I get on the treadmill. And then afterward, so I just really want to know what are some good things I can eat prior to a run and afterward for good, you know, for my muscles for recovery and then just for energy beforehand.
Well, you know, this is a perfect question for Anna because she's also a marathoner. And so, Anna, you're great.
Yes.
Go.
Okay. So a good pre-meal kind of snack before you're running, very essential. You could just do, like what I used to do is a quarter cup of almonds or macadamia nuts, something that's really saturated with fat.
Yeah, I've actually been doing that while I'm on the treadmill, kind of eating them.
Okay, hey, that's great. And especially when you're on the longer runs, you want to do that throughout the run, too.
Okay.
Plus, a lot of times, fruit is a good carbohydrate to eat beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Like banana or something like that?
Yep, like a banana. Yep, definitely, like a banana or even an apple. You know, something that's simple and it's going to digest pretty easily.
Okay.
But the fat is the fat plus the carbs are the biggest thing before.
And how about some protein?
And protein, an easy one is maybe just even a hard-boiled egg or a good ounce of beef jerky, which is easy too, without nitrates.
Okay.
Okay. And then afterwards, the most important thing is the protein. And you want to eat a larger amount of protein than you would like beforehand, like a good 3-4 ounces. And
Beforehand?
No, after.
After, okay.
After, yep. Beforehand, it's like an ounce or two.
Okay.
And then, obviously, you want to get some good carbohydrates in, and that would be, you know, probably a cup of fruit or even like a good whole grain Revita or Wasa cracker with either peanut butter or butter on it.
Okay. Or, I mean, if you can go to the level of getting a bunch of vegetables in after your run, that would be great, too.
That would be great, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you need more than just vegetables after the run to replenish your glycogen.
Yes.
So that's important, too.
Yes.
So, or just eat a hearty breakfast. I mean, obviously, since you're going to be, so just getting a good, you know, complete breakfast and balanced breakfast, that'd be good too.
Afterward?
Yep.
Uh-huh. So, like, quarter cup of almonds, fruits, hard-boiled egg prior to the run are good. They're going to give me the energy. And...
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So.
And what about, like, a whey protein for, like, a protein shake? Is that still?
You could do that. Sometimes, though, yogurt might not be the best thing before you run. Because dairy takes longer to digest, so you might want to be careful with the dairy.
Okay.
But afterwards, it would probably
be just
fine. But
afterwards would be perfect.
You know, so that you're getting plenty of protein, though. You know, you're looking for probably about 30 grams of protein afterwards,
after.
At least. So.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
Yep.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for the call. And I think, Anna, let's answer. We had a person that called us and asked us this question. Is there a connection between gluten, and we know that gluten is in wheat and rye and barley and oats. Is there a connection between that and acne?
Yes.
Okay.
So gluten is one of those really inflammatory proteins, and what it does is it basically kind of almost rips apart the intestinal lining, and that can cause something called leaky gut. And it allows the gluten molecule and other toxins and food particles to get out into the bloodstream, and that causes a ton of inflammation. And usually it travels upward, and it clogs our they can clog our pores, especially if you're eating trans fats a lot, and that just feeds those acne lesions. So there's definitely a huge connection between gluten and acne.
And I think that, now that's not true for everyone. Let's be honest. But we do
people
know
who are sensitive.
People that are sensitive. So we know that about 30% of the population is now sensitive to gluten, which because I think, as Cassie said a couple of weeks ago on the show, there's this 50-50 rule now. You know, our gluten is 50% higher in gluten Did I say our gluten? I mean our breads, our grains.
Okay.
Our breads and grains are 50% higher in gluten today than they were 50 years ago. And then when they make bread, they're putting more
gluten in. Yep.
And so people have this reaction to it that they didn't. You know, 50 years ago, they did not react to gluten.
Right.
Even when I first started practicing, you know, 20 years ago, it was very rare to have someone that had a gluten sensitivity.
Right.
But now we're seeing more and more. And yes, it does can cause this inflammatory response. But I think another one that we should talk about, as long as we're talking about acne, is dairy products.
Yes. And there's specific hormones that cows produce naturally that cause those acne lesions. And
mm-hmm.
because it promotes a hormone in our body called IGF. And that is what really kind of can screw up our hormones and cause a lot of those acne lesions to develop.
So I think if you have a teenager or even adult, because we're seeing a lot of women
yes.
that are in their late 20s, early 30s, early 40s, and they're having rosacea and acne. And so if they eliminate that dairy and that gluten, often those clear up and the rosacea goes away,
mm-hmm.
the acne stops, and
amazingly, their bowel functions also start to level out.
Right,
so.
Exactly. So I think we covered that one pretty
yep.
well. So, okay, let's take another question here. Good morning. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Good morning, Mary Lee.
Hello
there.
Hi.
Tell me your name again.
Maureen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Didn't quite get it there.
Okay. My question is, I broke my ankle pretty severely in June,
mm-hmm.
and my healing is moving along nicely, but are there any specific kinds of foods that help bones heal better
yes.
to add to that?
Definitely. Protein. You have to eat sufficient protein. Protein makes collagen. And collagen makes bones. And so you need, I would say that you probably should be eating 12, 14, 15, 16 ounces of protein, depending on your size, a day. And you need to be spreading it out through the day. Are you doing something like that?
I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, that will really help. And of course, you know, if you're eating vegetables, that's going to help too,
yeah.
because they have all the antioxidants and all the nutrients that help to heal the bones.
And are there any specific kinds of proteins that are better or worse?
No, I just think, just do some beef, do some chicken, do some eggs, do some
fish.
Just a variety of proteins so that you're getting a little bit different nutrients from mm-hmm. every animal protein.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Thank you.
So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, if you're a first-time listener, I'm Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and I'm here with nutritionist Anna Durhock, and we're inviting your nutrition questions today. So just give us a call. It is 651-641-1071.
FM 107.1. Laugh along. Why hit the snooze when you can laugh along? Ian and Marjorie.
Where are 50% of doctors turning to get their information?
Wikipedia.
Exactly right.
They're going to Wikipedia?
A survey in
April. They're going to Wikipedia.
50% of doctors get their medical
people,
info
they're
from,
going to Wikipedia.
From Wikipedia.
I'm having a hot flash.
Let me look that up on Wikipedia for you.
It's menopause, doctor.
Oh, let me type that into Wikipedia. Menopause. Hmm?
Living life and their marriage out loud. Ian and Marjorie, weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on FM 107.1. Laugh along. Living life out loud.
Living life out loud.
On FM 107.1.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We hope we can get all of your questions answered. One comment I hear from clients daily is that they clearly crave types of cereals, breads, pastas, cookies, even ice cream. So what do you think causes cravings for carbs? One of the things that we find very often is that low serotonin, okay, it's a type of neurotransmitter that helps our cells talk to each other, and One symptom of low serotonin could be sleep problems, but you could also have brain chatter, mood swings, and a lot of irritability. So how do you think we increase serotonin? We need to eat protein several times a day.
We seem to be talking about protein a lot today.
Lots. And we'll still talk about it later on. So a little lesson in brain chemistry to make more serotonin. Eat animal protein several times a day, if at all possible, at least five times a day.
So we had a question that the listener didn't stay on the line, but let's answer it anyway. It's when you're traveling, what kind of foods do you bring on the road? So we're going to, and in fact, I'm going on the road after this, after the show today. So, you know, and I think it depends on, number one, if you're going alone like myself, I'm driving, I probably am not going to bring as many things as if you're traveling with two little girls.
Right.
So what do you bring when you're traveling with two little girls? Because I know that we can use those same things for adults.
Exactly. Often grapes or even cut up apples are very easy. Mm-hmm. But also my girls are old enough so they can chew nuts. So mm-hmm. I bring a lot of different types of nuts. I even make turkey roll-ups.
And how do you make turkey roll-ups?
Okay, super easy. You just take cream cheese and you spread it on a piece of good nitrate-free deli meat, turkey, ham, whatever. And then you roll it up and I just put them in little baggies. And yeah, and they can just eat them in the car and they're not super messy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just wipe them off with a wet wipe. And then also, if you can make your own beef jerky or buy a really good nitrate-free one, that's really easy because you don't have to refrigerate that. Even hard-boiled eggs that are already peeled, mm-hmm. you know, that's something that's really easy. But those are great things and they're very balanced. So you can keep your blood sugar, you know, stable and not be hungry.
You know, one of the recipes that we created, and I created this basically because I needed something that I could put in a paper towel and take with me when I left the office and go to teach a class, and that was chicken patties. And so we use ground chicken. We use wild rice in that patty because it's not a gluten grain, yeah. and it kind of stabilizes your blood sugar, a little bit of eggs and black olives, and we bake those, and you can make them into little patties, like a, you know, a 2 ounce patty, or you can make them into a bigger patty. And so it works great because you've got the carbohydrates so that you got the energy, you got the protein that keeps you going, keeps you thinking, and you've got the black olives that stabilize your blood sugar, and they taste great.
Yes,
that's the nice thing about it. And so food can be fun, and
yeah.
I mean, I hope that gives people, those would be great to
difficult.
Go on the road.
Exactly.
And you could use turkey meat if you didn't, and I find that ground turkey and ground chicken, I can eat cold. It doesn't matter. And they taste
and
good.
They still taste great.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so any kind of fruit, too, would work. So now let's go here. Good morning, Linda. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes. I had a question about foods to lower cholesterol.
Yes. Well, yes. I think that's a great question. You know, and I think in the past, people feared fat. Well, the interesting thing that we have found is that when people eat good fat, they actually reduce their cholesterol. So, you know, the eggs and the vegetables cooked in a little bit better in the morning will actually bring down the cholesterol. Now, we encourage people to eat farm eggs, you know, the kinds
yes.
that where the chicken is running around outside, just like we used to always eat. Those are the best kind because the fat in that egg yolk is actually an omega-3 fat, and we know that lowers cholesterol.
Definitely.
So, Anna, talk about omega-3 fish oil, or fish mainly, for lowering cholesterol.
For lowering cholesterol, well, omega-3, the most abundant omega-3s are going to be found in fatty fish like salmon, sardines, mackerel, even tuna.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, anything with high omega-3s, plus omega-3s, what they do is they block the inflammatory process in the cells. So that's automatically going to lower your cholesterol because a lot of times we produce too much cholesterol because our body's inflamed.
Okay.
So specifically our heart. So that just eating fatty fish at least 2, 3, 4 times a week, you can get in every day, that's great, but it's going to help lower your cholesterol.
So now, you know, opposed to you see an ad on TV that is running over and over and over about a breakfast cereal. Now, that really isn't based on research. And we honestly know that when people eat sugar, which cereal turns into sugar, it actually increases your cholesterol.
Right.
But when you eat vegetables, it lowers your cholesterol.
Right.
So,
And there's, I mean, there's research out there also that shows that the only type of cholesterol that actually causes more plaque buildup is oxidized. And guess where we find those?
Where?
Powdered eggs, which are in boxed cake mixes and muffin mixes. A lot of times they can still be found in cereals and basically processed foods. So.
Okay.
Because oxidized cholesterol creates free radicals.
Okay.
So.
And then that makes our liver make more cholesterol.
Exactly.
Okay. And the other thing that you really want to avoid are trans fats.
Yes.
And so that's any kind of, you know, it's anything that has partially hydrogenated fat or hydrogenated fat. So that's almost all commercially produced food.
Yes.
Almost all.
Almost all.
So is there now, Linda,
yes.
Another question? I mean, do you have a specific question that we haven't addressed yet?
Yes. Well, what about any kind of inflammatory? I'm a dancer, and sometimes my feet just ache. There's an arthritic bunion. I know that. Anything you can tell me about that?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you're taking fish oil.
I'm taking an omega-3 supplement.
How many?
Omega-3, 6. Let me just take a look at it.
How many are you taking?
I'm vegetables for breakfast as we talk.
Oh, good.
That's good.
Omega-3, 6, 9 is what I have.
Okay.
Supplement.
What you should really do is not take that one.
Oh, really?
Because you need just omega-3 for inflammatory problems.
Why not the 6 and the 9?
They're not doing any benefit for you. And you might as well just spend your dollar on the omega-3, which is which reduces inflammation, especially in the feet. I mean, any place, but especially in those feet that are getting bombarded with a lot of pain. So you probably need to take 3 to 6 omega-3s, and that would be a place to start at least, Linda.
Okay.
So.
Do that. Okay, and as long as you get me on the phone, what about high blood pressure?
Well, I
don't mean to hog the phone, but
well, I think you know one of the things with high blood pressure, you need to make sure that you're sleeping 8-9 hours a night. That's really critical, and usually, people need enough magnesium in their system to kind of relax their blood vessels. And most of us are deficient in magnesium these days. Mm-hmm. So, personally, I take. 300 milligrams of magnesium at bedtime and 300 in the morning to keep my blood pressure under check. And so these are some of the things that you can do. And going back to fish oil again, isn't it?
Yeah, fish oil is a huge, very important for blood pressure regulation.
Yes.
And it helps bring down arrhythmias and everything else. It helps the blood run smoother through the blood vessels. So again, it comes back to fish oil and also healthy fats that are going to nourish your cells.
So,
and healthy fats would be nuts, avocado, olive oil.
You've been a
butter.
Listener. This is great. Thanks, Linda.
We appreciate
the call. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. This summer, I have had the opportunity to teach many different groups. I've been having a great time teaching our new Living the Weight and Wellness Way. And I plan to teach the series this fall in White Bear Lake. And I'm going to team up with Aura Lee to teach that. Also tomorrow, I will be teaching balanced foods for balanced moods and foods to reduce pain and inflammation at the Minnesota School Nutrition Association Conference in Duluth. That's 4 hours that I'm going to be teaching one after another. So then, and on Thursday, my daughter Christy and I will be presenting Nutrition for Sobriety, and we're going to be presenting that at the annual Minnesota American Indian Institute on Alcohol and Drugs, and that's up at Fond du Lac, and so we're going to be doing that. So, to me, it is really fun sharing my nutrition knowledge and my passion. So thanks for all the calls today, and we'll be right back.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Anna Durhock, nutrition counselor and educator, and I am here with Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and we are here to answer your questions today, Ask the Nutritionist. If you have a question, give us a call at 651-641-1071. I often have clients who have intense cravings for a Diet Pop, and they just can't stop with one.
Yes.
Very addictive, that Diet Pop. I used to have an addiction as well. But one pop, one cookie, one pair of shoes, it doesn't matter. It all goes back to a low level of dopamine, which is another neurotransmitter like serotonin. Other signs could be lack of focus, low energy, addiction, depression, and even low self-esteem, which I've also struggled with, believe it or not. So we teach how to eat foods to restore your dopamine levels. And the biggest clue, eat animal protein several times a day to build those dopamine levels.
So we had a quick caller, too, that asked us about how to build hemoglobin.
Yes.
And as long as we're talking about protein.
Yep. Okay, you guys. So hemoglobin is the biggest component is iron.
Mm-hmm.
And where do we find iron, Dar?
Well, liver.
Liver. Yes. The best form is liver. So it already comes back to protein. Eating it several times a day will build your hemoglobin levels.
And you know, probably beef.
Yep, beef and, cod liver oil could definitely do it as well, so.
So I think just, you know, and you said cooked spinach would help. So
yep, cooked spinach, big, lots of iron.
So
yep.
We have lots of callers here. So let's, good morning, Mike. You have a question for us today?
Yes, great show, ladies. I've been reading articles about this Kobe beef. Is there a better beef? I heard that has oleic acid in it. Have you heard about that?
Well, I have. It's very expensive.
Right.
It's, you know, they... What don't they? They pipe music into their animals, and they, you know, they do all this. They take extremely great care of their animals, so the meat is supposed to be very tender and very nutritious. And I think it's because they're grass fed.
Yep.
And I wouldn't you say, Anna, that you know, grass fed. We think grass fed beef is the healthiest for you.
Yep.
Now,
because the grass makes the omega-3s in the cows.
Yes.
So,
and you know, it might not be the best tasting. We'll go that.
It's different.
But it's a little different taste until you get used to it.
Yep.
So what kind of beef do you eat?
Well, I like regular steak.
Okay. Well, I think that's fine. And I think generally most men eat enough protein. Most men do. It's women who are, honestly, they don't eat enough protein.
I was just surprised how they say that, you know, there's oleic acid and heart healthy, and the American Heart Association endorses that. And you should hear more about it, even though it is expensive. If it's much healthier for you, why shouldn't everybody eat it?
Well, it's because, yeah, well, I mean, they don't have the advertising campaign. It's just like our local farmers here who do grass-fed meat don't have the money,
budget.
You know, the budget, the advertising budget to promote it. And it's... you know, it takes a lot more money to do organic grass-fed than it does to put them on corn and oats and all that. So,
you guys are great. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank
Mike.
You.
Appreciate it. Okay. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Have a great question for us. What is it today?
I have a restless leg syndrome, and I'm on Mirapex for it. And it seems like that's not even working. And I'm wondering if there's something that I can take that isn't, you know, something natural or something, anything to help me with restless leg syndrome.
Well, I think that you have to look at restless legs. There's so many different causes, but the first thing that we would look at
is your magnesium level.
Yes.
Usually people with restless leg have extremely low deficient levels of magnesium, and I would start with it probably 600 milligrams.
Yes. So, and take it at bedtime, and you have to have a very well-absorbed magnesium, which is usually magnesium glycinate, because what that means is it's attached to an amino acid or a piece of protein.
Yep, and it always is absorbed much easier when it's attached to something like that.
Yes, and for lots of our clients, Lisa, that's all they need to do. They need to get enough magnesium, you know, 600 to 800 milligrams of magnesium into their system at bedtime, and then their restless legs go away.
So you take the magnesium with the... what's it called?
It's called magnesium glycinate.
Glycinate.
Mm-hmm. Glycinate. And just take it at bedtime.
Yep. That's it. So that's the first level.
Do you still take the multivitamin, though?
Take that in the morning.
In the morning.
Okay.
You're early in the morning.
How long does it usually take when you start seeing some kind of a change?
2 or 3 days.
Okay.
And then I've actually had a couple of people that have gone up to 1,000 milligrams of magnesium at bedtime. And I was at a nutrition conference a couple of years ago, and some of the research shows that for restless legs, some people have to go up to 2,000 milligrams of magnesium at bedtime. You know, I think that's rare, honestly. I think for most people, it's 600 to 800 milligrams, and the restless legs go away and they sleep. Now,
carries this?
We carry it at our offices. Most chiropractors carry it because it's such a well-absorbed magnesium.
Okay.
And,
well, thank you.
You know, that's the beginning step. Now, there's many things that we do additionally for people that have, that doesn't just do it. Because there's maybe another reason that people have restless legs. So when we're working with people individually, we try to go to all those levels.
I've had it ever since I can remember, even when I was very, very young, and I didn't even know there's a name for it till like 5 years ago.
Okay. Well, you know, if I was working with you individually, I would look at maybe you have a gluten sensitivity. So I would look at more things, more food things, too, since you've had it your whole life.
Yep.
So, but I really appreciate the call because I think a lot of people are struggling with it.
Yep.
So thanks. And we're going to take a quick break. Thank you for today. You know, we really thank people for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Yes.
And honestly, if you didn't get your question answered, we're still going to pick up a few more questions here. If you didn't, Anna, you're going to be at the office. And yep. So she's got some time today, not a lot, but some time to answer your questions. And it is 651-699-3438. And even if you just have to leave a message, I know she'll call you back.
Definitely.
And she'll stay at work until she does that. So she'd probably be there until 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 tonight. So we'll be back in a minute.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Remember, if you want some great ideas of what to pack in your child's lunchbox or quick snacks, or just wonder what to do for a picky eater, sign up for one of our How to Build Happy Focus Kids held next week in all three offices. Call Hannah today at 651-699-3438 to get registered. You can also sign up online as well at weightandwellness.com.
So we have a couple more callers and we want to get to. Hi, Peter. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hello.
Hi there.
Peter,
you have a question for us.
Yeah, our son, he's about to turn 1 year old, and he doesn't seem interested in fruit. All he wants to do is eat Cheerios.
Oh, that's
my wife. My wife heard the thing about the cereal and its cholesterol, and she says he's going to have a heart attack. No, I'm kidding, but, he's not really taking to fruits just yet, and you know, we're giving him things that's soft enough to chew. But any suggestions?
Well, you know, I'm going to turn this over because Anna's got a 1.5 year old and a 3. But, you know, one of the things that just before I do is that once you start feeding kids these high sugar foods, which Cheerios is honestly a high sugar food, and, you know, they get this craving for sugar then, and it's a little harder to change that around. So one thing I would do, and then I'm going to turn it over, is, you know, kids love little toothpick things. And so if you take blueberries that are really great right now, because their blueberries are, oh, they're so good right
Sweet.
Now. And you just put them on toothpicks, he'll eat them. I bet. So, Annie, go. I'm going to turn it over.
That's
to
a great idea. I didn't even think about that myself. But, Peter, what I started doing for my daughter, because she started becoming picky early on, is I started making her smoothies.
Okay.
And that's actually, I mean, you can actually make that, you know, sweet enough so that, you know, he's not going to taste just the fruit, but like the combination of everything in it. And I would add like half a banana and then berries to it.
Okay.
And that's going to give you the most antioxidants, plus a little bit of yogurt and coconut milk, you know, and it'll taste sweet enough to where he'd be like, oh, I could eat this every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would start with a smoothie.
And then, okay. And then
any milk in it or any protein powder, or just keep it like a
I mean, you could put protein powder in it, but I, you know, for a 1 year old, I don't know if he'll need that, you know, too much more protein. Unless he's not eating, then I mean, does he not eat much protein either?
No, he does. I'm just thinking for digestion purposes, if it would screw up his system or not.
Nope. At 1 year old, he should be able to handle the yogurt and things like that. So.
Okay.
Yep. And then, I mean, chicken salad would be a great way, and that's a good way to incorporate some more vegetables, too, and really just mash it up really good.
Okay.
So with the mayo and, you know, soft vegetables, so.
And I think probably pull, just, you know, you know, and I know that people get caught into the Cheerio thing because they're easy to take with them, but it's just as easy to take grapes with you or something like that, or just pieces of banana cut up.
Yeah.
Or some, you know, and I think just changing those habits that people get into when they have toddlers.
Right.
So, does that give you some ideas?
Yeah. So no more McDonald's for him. No,
absolutely. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
We appreciate the call.
Yes.
So we've had a lot of nice callers today, and I think one of our callers that I was hoping to be able to answer, but we slipped up on it, and the person hung up on us. But we really do appreciate everyone giving us calls today. And, you know, we're going to talk about fibroid tumors a little bit, but we'll save that for another show. And we certainly, I think what we've done is we've talked about the need to really eat sufficient amount of protein at several times a day, and to eat vegetables and to eat good, healthy fats.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna, thanks for being here. We had fun.
Thanks, Star.
And, you know, change your nutrition. And we believe you'll change your life. Thanks for being with us today.
Life, I love you. All is groovy.